Let me tell you something. For those of us that are trying to avoid trials or tribulations, struggles, conflicts, valleys, I tell you what, you will not then have a new song of deliverance. I love oldies. Do you, you know, Jerry, you like oldies. Those of us over 50, you know, the songs that they're singing now, I have no idea what they mean. So give me some of the Drifters, the Supremes, you know. I can understand this oldies stuff. But after a while, oldies get stale. But you know what, my friends? If we're not careful, and our walk with Christ is not alive, we will find ourselves singing spiritual oldies because we have nothing fresh. And we will find ourselves barren sometimes. I'm accused by Sue, and she's absolutely right. I live in the 70s, where we were led through by God's grace a revival, the Jesus movement, and it spoiled us for life, or spoiled me for life. This is a whole different thing to church life than what we've become accustomed to. God says this, He will shelter us. And shelters in this testament are for our temporary purposes. You don't make a home in a shelter. I think one of the shelters that have surrounded you and I over the years are the prayers of the saints. You ever feel people praying for you? Man, that's a shelter. That's a place of comfort. God says He'll be our refuge, our security, our fortress. Fortress are usually up high. And the best place to do battle is to be above the enemy. And this is what God says. I'm going to put you on a fortress and keep you above the fray. Oh Lord, lift me up. And He does. And then we have the who does this and the titles of God. We have two of them that are amazing in Scripture. And the two that you have in this psalm are, first of all, the Most High. Did you get the connection? He will lift you up into a fortress. Who will? The Most High God. There is no power beyond our Lord. And He will lift up. He's omnipotent. He's above every power. A thought that's foreign to us. We never have to think or will think or need to think. Will God be overcome by something today? Is my God in a battle that He can't win? Is my God having a bad day, or as Elijah says, scream louder, He's on vacation. Wake Him up. He's in the Bahamas, soaking up some sun. No, our God is high, and no one is higher than Him. And He places us in a fortress. And when He places us in a fortress, my friends, nothing can harm us. And He's almighty. He's majestic. He's holy. ...90% of this psalm tells us how wonderful our Lord is. And remember when I said earlier, He's our Savior. But my friends, here's where the rubber meets the road. Ask yourself, is He our Lord? It's a whole different thing. God's end of the covenant is sure. Here it is, written for us to hold on to and grasp and never have to doubt. But is He my Lord? Pick up your Bible. I'd like to read just for now verse 14 of this psalm. And then we'll go back to verse 1 of the psalm. And listen to this. Because He, or she, has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him securely on high, because he has known my name. He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With a long life, I will satisfy him and let him behold my salvation. And verse 1, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Some words here that we really need to ask, am I in this place? And the first one is, really, do you love me? You see verse 14, guys and gals, men and women, I'm sorry. Because he has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him securely on high. I believe we are in the last days, and the last day started on Pentecost Sunday when Peter quoted Joel and said, in these last days, God will pour out his spirit upon the earth. These are the last days. There's no doubt about that. They started on Pentecost Sunday, and we're in God's great loving kindness and long suffering that he wants to bring everybody in who he can and who is willing to receive forgiveness. But I think this is something we as a church have to wrestle with in these last days and ask ourselves honestly, is Jesus my Lord? You ever look at old photos? Did you ever not look at old photos? Maybe that's more appropriate. And you look at these pictures of what you looked like and what I looked like. And you turn the pages, 1968, there's my time when I was playing baseball and I was clean cut and looked so good and everything about me was upright. And I looked attractive, I'm lying, but I looked attractive. And then you look at the old photos, right? And you say, wow, look at that. Look at your photos of your wedding day. And you say, wow, we are both glowing, right? And there you are with your three children, or two children, aged 6 and 9, and now they're 35 and 28. And you say, boy, weren't those glorious times? And then you make the tragic mistake of walking past a mirror, and you see what we're about today. Don't kid yourself. We're gray. We're wrinkled. It's painful to get up. And we can't go back and try to catch what we lost 50 years ago, 40 years ago. But here's the glorious thing, my friends. I hope you remember this one thing this morning. With the Lord, you know what? We can go back. And what do I mean by that? I think there are three things we're going to have to wrestle here with in the next, for all of us, but for me, we can go back. Turn with me. Revelation 2:4. Listen to this verse. And you say, well, what are you talking about? Revelation 2:4 says this, that I have this against you. You have left your first love. What a glorious invitation from the Lord. He's saying, go back to how you first loved me when you first met me. You guys remember those days? Now, I know the way we came to the Lord is different. Some of you grew up in church, and you know it, and you grew up in it, and I understand that. And that's the Lord, and you know the Lord, and you love the Lord. But some of us, we were an absolute mess. And we sucked in the world without blowing out. And we lived lives that were displeasing to God. And so when God came through Christ, took us by our, I don't know, picked us up from the mud puddle. And he said, come, John, I love you. You are no longer your own. You are mine. My friends, how can we ever be the same again? It all mattered about being pleasing to him. And following Jesus has seemed to change to my needs. My. It's me. Lord, what are you going to do for me? You ever come to church now and you leave saying, well, not ever here. And you leave and say, well, the worship was a little stale today. Preaching got a little long. We don't have the crowds we once had. Let me tell you something, my friends. Church has changed, but the God you worshiped 30, 40, 50 years ago has not changed, and he is still worthy of our praise. Same Lord, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He hasn't changed. We've changed. He is the same God that we worshiped then that we are worshiping now. First love. When he said to Peter, Peter, are you going to preach Jesus? Peter, are you going to raise the dead? Peter, are you going to be bold in obedience? Peter, are you going to hang out with the uncircumcised? You know what he says to Peter? Do you love me? Man, when we love Jesus, and we know he loves us, I tell you now, friends, that's the most exciting life to live. There's no better life than to be passionately in love with the Savior who lifted us up, not so we can be trophies and wiped down nice and clean on the shelf. Look at that. There's my servant John, or there's my servant Paul, or there's my servant Raul. Isn't he wonderful up there? We've stayed up there a little too long, and that's why we're dusty, rusty, and stale. And we're not trophies. We're vessels in the hand of God to be used for his purposes. Oswald Chambers says we're broken bread and poured out wine in the hands of God. Are we that? Or are we like manna? Remember? They stored manna for a day, longer than they should have, and they got worms. And sometimes we hoard. One of the greatest shows now that people watch, I've never watched it, that the commercials turn me off, are The Hoarders. You watch those commercials and you say, why would I want to watch that? But I think if we're not careful, we're like Hezekiah, showing everybody what God has done. Look at it, isn't this wonderful? And God is displeased at that. Number two goes along in the first place where we just read also. Revelations 2:4 says this. 5. Okay, I have this against you. You have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the deeds you did at first. Or else I am coming and we will move your lampstand from its place. Do the deeds you did at first. Let me tell you, when I first became a Christian, the word inconvenience was not in my vocabulary. The word opportunity was. What can I do now for the Lord? Not to earn salvation, not to be blessed. It's like, God, I am so overwhelmed. You've taken this crazy mind and made it whole. And I know you're saying that's disputable. It's not. You have taken this body that was so addicted to its own ends. And it's not like I want to earn salvation, Lord. I want to be a little higher up the trophy case than Paul. I don't think we ever will be, but I want to be way up there. No, Lord, I just want to thank you and pour myself out for what you did for me, because I can never begin to thank you enough for your lifting me up. My first works was I didn't know what to do. I wanted to do something. We had people knocking at the church door saying, I got a bag of groceries. Who do I take them to? Drove down the street in the inner city of Detroit. I don't know why I remember this, but I bought $13 worth of groceries, man. Eggs, meat. Meat was cheap then. Meat, whatever. And took it to Skid Row. To a gentleman who just took it to Skid Row. I am testifying about that time. I don't know any lives were changed or touched or that the nation came to Jesus through that. All I know is I offered to God at that time the best I had. And there's no doubt he was pleased and satisfied with $13 worth of groceries for the Skid Row guy. The first works. My friends, we've become a little too mature and too self-conscious and too aware of what others think. Happened to me just once in my life. Brother came to the Lord on fire for the Lord. Man, did he love the Lord. Brother Tim Sue over in Massachusetts. Oh, man, did he love the Lord. Fresh from the gates of hell, you know. And here he comes into the kingdom of God. And boy, that guy was glowing on fire. It was just a glorious thing to see. And I had an evil thought in my head. First time in my life, and I pray I'll never think that again. And it was like, yeah, wait till Tim follows the Lord. Or wait till Tim hangs around us for the next 3-4 years. Will he still have that glow? Don't you envy new believers who are half crazy for Jesus? And sometimes you think in your head, oh yeah, wait, give them a year. They'll be like us. Shame on us. Don't ever be like us. It's a sorrow, but sometimes other Christians lower the standard that God has called us to. May we not fall in that sin. Don't look at us, friends. Look to Jesus. Look to his word. First works were one thing. I wanted to be a blessing. And couldn't care less about being blessed because God has already blessed me more than I can sustain. With that one word, your sins are forgiven. The blood of Jesus has washed you. And last but not least, and I'm closing, Matthew 6:33 says this, seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. My friends, seeking first the kingdom of God, there should be a passion in our hearts, a burning in our hearts, a desire in our hearts that the kingdom of God is first for others before it's for me. Think of that. Is my heart burdened over the lost? Is my heart broken over the sinful? Do I even care when these people walk by me? Seek first the kingdom of God. We are headed for an exciting time as believers in Jesus. And the reason I say this is because the world is getting a lot darker, and by God's grace, we're going to shine a little brighter. And if you want to hide your lampstand, and if you want to hide all these things so nobody knows you're Christian, or you're a believer in Jesus, or you're on fire for the Lord, or you're crazy for Christ, and I know that's probably a little extreme. You can hide your lampstand. No problem. Here's what we need to do today. We need to find a shovel. And we need to dig up the coin we buried a long time ago. Or we need to go in our closets. And that treasure in the field that we worshiped so mightily and hung on to so tightly, go in your closet and find it below your Jimi Hendrix albums and whatever you got there. That coin and that treasure. Let's not live lives I woulda, coulda, shoulda. And he says in his word, first love, first works, and first the kingdom. And then we will see the glory of God upon this earth. And we will not say, rocks, hide and cover me. We will say, by grace, Lord God, by your grace, come down and take me home. May God indeed do that here among us. Let's just go before the Lord. Lord, your word closes so often few verses before your word closes, with the admonition, the promise, the covenant promise that you will come quickly. Lord, many of us, as we are here this morning, who could deny that we need repentance? I do. Which one of us can say we walk sinlessly through this day? But, oh God, we have satisfied and settled for that. And it's a shame, Father in heaven, lukewarmness has become almost on fire for Jesus. May that not be in our midst. Stir our hearts, Lord, that we will love you only, always. That our love for you would even make our love for our family, look like hate. That the word inconvenience would no longer be mentioned on our lips. I'm too tired. It's too late. First works, Lord, simple things. Oh God, may we be involved with what you give us, that we lavish to the world. And you said in your word, you're going to shake it down and shake it and shake it. And it's going to keep flowing from us, living water. But we've hung on to it, Lord, and it's stale. Oh God, cleanse us today with the blood of Jesus and the kingdom of God. Oh God, that it's not my life. My life isn't my life anymore. I claimed it as your life. My needs, Lord, my needs are to do your will. And my heart, Lord, wants to look for a country I haven't seen yet. Raise up believers, hands out of the plow, Lord God, who refuse to look back and start in our midst. For I ask this in Jesus' name, amen.